Today's reading is from Joshua. Early in the morning, Joshua rose with all the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." To the priest, Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on in front of the people." When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the waters flowing from above stood still. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Truly the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Amen? Amen. Let's just give our band another round of applause just for them. I don't know about you, but we can just give the benediction and go home. Amen. Won't you pray with me? God, we are just amazed at the many ways that you continue to show up each and every Sunday. In the light of everything that we have going on in our lives, you find a way to just speak to us and move us and inspire us and challenge us in so many ways. So God, our prayer just right now was that you would just keep your spirit here, oh God, for you are truly worthy to be worshiped. And God, it's only by your grace, only by your grace, only by your grace that you can bring us all here together and you can speak to each and every one of us. Same words, same message, same messenger, but different problems, different circumstances, different backgrounds, and yet only you, God, not my words, not my preaching, but you, God, speak to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. Church, over the last several weeks, we have been in a series entitled Going the Extra Mile, and this was sort of our vision series for the year. And we tried to take a different approach. Instead of asking the question, what is God calling us to do? We tried to approach this vision series with the question, who is God calling us to become? And so over these last several weeks, that's what we've been trying to sort of answer as a congregation. Who is God calling us to become? And in week one, we tried to deal with the theme of going the extra mile to love beyond boundaries. And we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan to see how someone went above and beyond to love someone that they could have despised. In week two, we talked about going the extra mile to reach new people, and we set a goal of 2020 and 2020, right? We're going to reach 2,020 people, new people, in the year of 2020. And you wouldn't believe, but already this year, we're seeing how God is already answering some of those same prayers, right? Because in a few weeks, the number of first-time guests that we've had for the year thus far is around 160 plus, and that's almost equivalent to the amount of first-time visitors or first-time guests that we would have received for the entire first quarter of last year. Amen? Amen. God is already answering these prayers because as of last week, our new here course is held right after church, had 29 people who were in our Explore membership class, And that's probably more than we've had for the last 2 years. That's more than one class. So God is already answering some of those prayers for 2020 and 2020. So much so, I asked our director of communications, DeLeaf. I see you. I got you right there, right? Have I ever mentioned you in a sermon before? No, it won't be the last. Amen, right? So I asked her and said, how many people normally report of how they come to St. Luke's? So normally in these exploring membership classes after church, they normally write down how they have found out about St. Luke's. And you wouldn't believe that the number one way that people join and come to St. Luke's, you wouldn't believe this, but the number one way that people join and come to St. Luke's is because they were invited by a friend or family member. God is already answering a lot of these prayers in 2020 and 2020. In week three, we talked about how can we go the extra mile to reach those who are hurting. We looked at how God intentionally situates God's self in the lives of the most vulnerable people in that community. And last week, Pastor Rob and Pastor Mindy talked about how do we go the extra mile to reach the new generations. Again, this is not just trying to address the question, what is God calling us to do, but who is God calling us to become? And today we conclude our series in the book of Joshua as the Israelites are at the edge of reaching their promised land. And right from the start, we learned that there is something interesting about this part of the journey. They've been in the wilderness for some time, over four decades, and God has promised before they have left Egypt that he will bring them to this promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And remember, this wasn't just about reaching a destination on a map, but it was a journey about them learning how to become a people of God. So now with Moses gone, Joshua has been thrust into leadership, and they have become close to seeing their future becoming a reality. And let me just remind us that it didn't always look like this either. Because they've seen some hard days in those 40 years. They've had some times where they've wanted to turn around and go back home. They had some times when they wanted to stone Moses to death. They have seen a lot of days go by and no promised land. They've seen some days when all they had to eat was some dry, boring manna, the same meal for 40 days. And it's only natural for them and for us to wonder every now and again if what God said, if what God showed us, if what God placed on our hearts is really going to come to pass. And as they are rallying the troops, as they are getting ready to move out and enter into this promised land, the officers, they go around the camp giving instructions about when to move out, things to keep their eyes on, and giving strict instructions to pay attention because this is a way that they've never seen before. After 40 years going around in circles, God has led them to uncharted territory. And they don't have a precedence for this. There's a book I'm reading now called Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory. And in the book, the author correlates the current state of Christianity to the expedition of Lewis and Clark to find a route via the Pacific Ocean. As they are traveling out west, they carry their canoes to paddle their way to specific destinations because now Lewis and Clark were exceptional scientists and explorers, and they've been given the mission of now trying to find and explore the West, to find these uncharted territories. And they have the best supplies and knowledge that America has to offer, and they're going to try to find these trade routes with their canoes on their backs. And they assume that all of the rivers out west led to the Pacific Ocean, so they had their canoes ready for what they thought would be the most logical mode of transportation they would need to explore this uncharted territory until they came to the Rocky Mountains. And everything they had accomplished up to that point was only a prelude to what was in front of them. But this isn't just a lesson on leadership, but it's a picture of life. It happens all throughout our lives because sooner or later, life leads us to uncharted territory. When the next phase of life, it is completely new. It's a place we've never gone before. There's no precedence to what we have done in our lives to compare with what lies ahead of us. It's where the experiences are completely new. In fact, Pastor Eric mentioned that he and Megan having their first child, and we celebrate that. There's a baby right under us in our apartment that they just had, a newborn baby, and Nicole and I were reminiscing how it was when we had our first baby, and we had to come to the conclusion that and now you all may not have this story because you seem a little more refined and like you got it more together, right? But we were absolutely clueless, right? It was absolutely uncharted territory. We had no idea what we were doing. There was nothing that compared. There was no precedent. So much so, I don't know if they have this law in Indiana, but in New Jersey, you could not take your baby home unless your car seat. I don't know if they had this rule, unless your car seat was properly hooked onto the back seat of your car. Now, we are two people with 2 degrees, and we had to look online how to make sure that the car seat was buckled fast in the back seat of the car, and I wasn't so sure, so I looked online. Google has the answer for everything, and there were some people that said, if you go to your local fire department, they will make sure that it's in there properly. So here I was, 2 degrees in my local fire department, asking them to check, how in the world do you put in a baby seat, right? Because it was uncharted territory. And then there's some people who now remind me that it doesn't get any better because then they become teenagers. It's uncharted territory. And then they go off to college. And now, and sometimes you are now home by yourself. It's uncharted territory. And then sometimes they move back home. It's uncharted territory, right? All throughout our lives, we're going through these seasons where it's unprecedented and it's new learning. And we've got canoes on our backs and we come across the Rocky Mountains, right? They are sometimes getting back on the day scene can seem like uncharted territory. There are moments in our lives when we get the diagnosis and we've got to go in for treatment and it's uncharted territory. There are times when we are experiencing the second career later on in our lives and it is absolutely uncharted territory. Whether we are downsizing is uncharted territory. Try talking to somebody about aging. It is uncharted territory. Life is full of places we don't know, things beyond our control, and experiences beyond our knowledge. There are times we are carrying the canoes the best way we can, and yet we come across places that we haven't gone before. But I think it's hard to be the person or the community that God has called us to be unless we are willing to go and to experience and to dive and lean all the way in into this uncharted territory. So how do we navigate the uncharted territory? How do we navigate the places that we don't know, the things beyond our control, and experiences beyond our knowledge? How do we navigate the Rocky Mountains when we have canoes? I think the answer is right in the instructions that the people were given. The people were given these instructions. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord our God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set from your place and follow it. So the decision was made to put the Ark of the Covenant out in front so everyone could see and follow God's lead. In other words, they were letting God lead the way. They made a directional and a theological decision to let God lead the way in this uncharted territory. In other words, the position in which they placed God in their lives and in their camp was absolutely important for them in this uncharted territory. In other words, having God in my life is not the same thing as letting God lead my life. The two things are not interchangeable and they are not synonymous because the former does not assume the latter. So often we are comfortable with many aspects to God's character except this one. We want God to be our friend. We want God to be our healer. We want God to be our way maker. But God also wants to be our Lord and our lead, right? How often have we unconsciously prayed, God, heal me, but don't lead me. Save me, but don't lead me. Answer my prayer, but don't lead me. Help me, but don't demand of me. Assist me, but don't go out ahead of me. We are much more comfortable with God as the cosigner as opposed to God being our leader. We would much rather have God just rubber stamp our decisions and support us and support our decisions as opposed to putting God out in front of our lives and surrendering our wills and completely following the direction that God has for our lives. But that is the blessing and the burden of being in uncharted territory. Because when we have come to places that are unfamiliar, it pushes us to a place of dependency where we have to depend on something else other than what we can know or control. In fact, you remember the days when there was no GPS. The best ways you learned how to get around was either one or two ways. One, either you had to ask somebody who had been there before how to get directions, or you had to follow somebody. When you were going into uncharted territory, you had to rely on the experience and the knowledge of somebody else to help you navigate places where you didn't know. And that's why when there were switch lanes, you would switch lanes. When they would turn on their blinker, you would turn on your blinker. When they would go into the gas station to turn around, you would go right into the gas station to turn around. You've been there before, don't act like it, right? You would turn around in the gas station because you were following, because you were going through uncharted territory. But here's the truth. We don't need God to do what we've already done, or we don't need God to go where we've already gone before. That's why vision is not a matter of repeating the past. That's why vision is never repetitive. You don't need God to do what you already know how to do. You don't need God to help you go places that are already familiar to you. You have routes that you take every day of your life. You don't need directions. You don't need a GPS. In fact, you can do them with your eyes closed because you've become so familiar with the route that you don't need any assistance. But oftentimes, God leads us to uncharted and unfamiliar places because it pushes us to depend on something other than our knowledge. In fact, now, I told you I would be telling Disney stories for the next 90 days, and you got about 37 more. So we were in Epcot, and we had reservations to eat at a Moroccan restaurant, and the reservations were at 3 p.m., but by the time we finished seeing one of those characters, we were in a crunch to get to the other side of Epcot. And my dad doesn't move as fast as he used to. Now, for my dad, this is absolutely uncharted territory. My dad is excellent at directions. His directional system is absolutely amazing. You could call him anywhere in the city of Detroit and ask him, how do you get to a certain place? And he can absolutely tell you with no problem. My dad is used to being out in the front, used to being out in lead, but we were in Disney now. And so this way for him, this was uncharted territory. But now this is mine. This is now my show. And so we were trying to get to this Moroccan restaurant in Epcot, and my dad doesn't move as fast as he used to, and we were getting close on time. And so we made the decision that we would go on ahead in order to get to the Moroccan restaurant by 3 so that we wouldn't lose our reservations. But we didn't want to leave my dad behind. My dad wanted us to keep going, but I didn't want to leave my dad behind. So we said, let's think of something we can do. So I said, Joshua, you get on my shoulders. And Joshua had this crazy wine he got somewhere. And I said, I'll put Joshua on my shoulders and we'll go out ahead of you. And he said, great. He said, as long as I can see you, I won't get lost. He said, don't worry about going too fast. As long as you keep him on your shoulders, That'll be good. And the walk was around 50 minutes. We were walking fast, trying to get to the Moroccan restaurant at Epcot because we had reservations at 3. And luckily, we finally all got there in one piece. We got there right on time. We still had the reservations. And my dad says something similar to the fact that he knew where to go because all the while, he could see Joshua. And while we were walking, I would always ask Joshua, "Can you still see him? Can you still see him?" And Joshua would say, "Yep, he's still giving me the thumbs up. Yep, he's still giving me the thumbs up." And isn't it amazing, right? Because all throughout the way, as long as my dad could fix his eyes on something that was unchangeable, in the middle of Disney with thousands of people, he could navigate his way, not because he knew where he was going. He was absolutely clueless in Walt Disney at Epcot. Absolutely did not know where he was going, but he got to his destination because he fixed his eyes on something that was unchangeable. And that is the power of having God in front of our lives. Can you imagine all of the ways that their lives have changed in the last 40 years? First they were slaves, now they're nomadic people, now they're wandering in the desert. Their lives have just changed. Their lives have changed. First Moses was the leader, and now Joshua has become their leader. Their lives have just dramatically changed. Their diet has dramatically changed. For 40 years, they are eating manna for 40 years, and now when they get closer, the Lord says the manna will now cease. There's so much of their lives have changed, but the one thing that has remained a constant in their lives was the presence of God. They could not look to their leaders because their leaders had changed. They could not look to the way that they lived their lives because their culture and their routines had changed. They could not look to their homes because their homes had changed. They could not look to anything other than the reality and the presence of God in their lives. So they say, fix your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant in this territory that you have not gone before. Fix your eyes on the Ark, because while it seemed uncharted and unknown to them, God already knew the way. So God commands them, and I think sometimes God is absolutely crazy. God commands them to stand in the middle of the Jordan River. Now, I can understand the practicality of this, but this is during the time of harvest season where the Jordan River was absolutely impossible to cross. I could understand it if it was at another season, but no one dares cross the Jordan River during the harvest season, and yet after 40 years, they've come to the river in its most difficult season. But I would venture to say, church, that every journey has some difficult seasons. We had a marriage conference here yesterday led by Pastor Mindy, and we had couples who came up to the front and held up signs with the number of years that they had been married. And they told us things that they like to do to have fun. And there were couples who had been married for 43 years. Somebody could have said, ooh, something like that. Couples who were married for, tough crowd. Couples who were married for 43 years. Oh, yeah, right? 37 years, 11 years, 5 years. Now you're just going overboard. Then we have one couple who have been married for 1 year. There you go, right? But here's the reality. Every marriage has seasons, whether you wonder if you actually made the right decision or not. Every marriage has difficult seasons, whether you've been married for 43 years or 1 year. Every marriage has some difficult seasons. And the truth is, every journey has difficult seasons. Even the best churches grow through seasons where the attendance drop and the money dries up. Every business ends up in the red every now and again. The most prolific sports teams goes through losing seasons. The best of athletes, they go through slumps. The most faithful people get exhausted. Even when you are living out your calling and you are where God wants you to be, you can still go through rough patches and difficult seasons. And yet, difficult seasons don't stop answered prayers. Difficult seasons don't stop God from showing up. They've come to the edge of a difficult season, and yet God was still out in front of them. It was during this difficult season that God asked them to stand in the middle of this difficult season. And as they followed God into this uncharted territory during the difficult season, the Lord challenged them to stand in the middle of the river. Now, this would not have been an odd request if the Lord followed it up with exact instructions on how this was going to be possible. But I've noticed that sometimes God is not always great with detail. Sometimes God gives you half of the story, and you got to figure it out along the way. Can somebody say amen? Right? God will give you the beginning, and God don't tell you the end. Or God gives you the end, and then God does not tell you how you're going to get there. Sometimes God just leaves out very important details of the story. God says, go out and stand in the middle of the Jordan River. Go out and stand in the middle of impossibility. I'm not going to tell you how, but I'm just going to tell you what I need you to do. And God always is leaving out this critical information, and yet that does not cancel out their need to exemplify their faith. Because let's be honest, the temptation would have been to stand on the banks and wait for the right time. I mean, this is harvest season. It would be better for us just to wait for the floods to subside. But can you imagine the process, how it would have worked if this would have been a vote by committee? They would have had to wait for the committee to get together and decide when they were going to meet. Then they would have had to wait on the committee to give them the yes. Then they would have had to get the committee on board. And then they would have had to get the committee of when, to get them the date of when they could cross. And by the time you finally cross the river has dried up and the promised land is gone. So why don't we just wait on the side of the banks until everything is perfect? And can you imagine how many people here today, you've been waiting on the banks for a long time, that the Lord has called you to go to a difficult place, and you've been waiting for things to get right. You've been waiting for the money to get right. You've been waiting for things to get right at your job. You've been waiting for all of these things to change. But what God was asking them to do, and what they did, in fact, God didn't say it, but they just did it. All they did was, when they put one foot in the water started to dry up. When they got their feet wet, sometimes that's what faith is. Sometimes faith is just a willingness to get your feet wet. Sometimes it is moving forward without knowing all of the details. Sometimes faith is putting ourselves out there and just getting our feet wet. In fact, the next time you go to Kroger, the next time you go to Walgreens, the next time you go to CVS, I want you to notice the closed doors. Some of you, you're going grocery shopping right after here because you're going to get ready for the week because you are prepared. I know you're probably going, aren't you? I know you are. Right? Some of you like the plan. You're ready. You're going to Walgreens, meal plan. You're ready for the week. I want you to notice the closed doors. Next time you go to Walgreens, CVS, Kroger, I want you to notice the closed doors. I want you to notice how closed those doors are until you get close. I want you to notice how shut they are. I want you to notice how immovable they seem when you're far away. I want you to notice how sometimes when the lights are off, the doors seem closed. Until you get close. Until you get close and start moving. Until you start walking. Until you start stepping forward. Because the moment you start stepping forward, there's a sensor on the door that lets it know that now the door can open. You'd be amazed at what some opportunities are. They look closed from afar, but when you start walking towards it, when you start taking steps, when you step out on faith, when you are just faithful enough to get your feet wet, you'll be amazed at what some doors, or how some doors will open for you. You will be amazed at how some blessings will be available to you. You will be amazed at what grace will be available to you. You will be amazed at what's on the other side when we just have enough faith to get our feet wet. God didn't ask them to do a lot, and it didn't take a whole lot. It just took one step of faith, and the entire river stopped flowing. This past week, we decided to close on a song by a guy by the name of Rich Mullins, who was born here in Indiana. And it was one of those times where we get around the table, and I know how to fake it real good. And Pastor Rob said, you know, they'd be great. We can end by this song, Step by Step. And you guys know this song? I can fake it real good. I say, oh yeah, absolutely not. I do not know this song, right? But the story behind the guy who wrote the song is absolutely amazing. The song chorus reminds us about living our faith step by step. But the guy, Rich Mullins, who was born here in Indiana, started dabbling in music from the time he was a young kid and became really famous, writing praise and worship songs. And around the 90s and mid-90s, there were a lot of churches who were playing a lot of his music. And at one point, I mean, just about every church he would go into, he had some influence all around the country, all around the circles, right? He was playing, his music touched a lot of hearts, and they moved a lot of people, right? A guy by the name of Rich Mullins. However, Rich Mullins felt that maybe God was leading him into uncharted territory, and at the height and peak of his ministry and his music and popularity, he gave away a lot of his money to charity and missions and gave it all up to move to a reservation so that he could teach people how to read and play music. Talk about uncharted territory. And yet he was willing to just step out on faith and just get his feet wet. I wonder what areas of your life that God is calling you that seems like uncharted territory that has no precedents. It's a new season. It's new demands. You've been carrying the canoes, and now you've come across to the Rocky Mountains. And yet all God is asking you to do today is just a willingness to get your feet wet. Amen.